think. Charity is the virtue which enables me to love God above all others and in all others. I love him above all others as long as I hate all sin and practice the virtues I need in daily life. I love God and all others, firstly, when I try to treat my neighbor with the respect and consideration which is due to him, and secondly, when I make the most of the things which I possess and the opportunities which come my way. In all these persons, things, and opportunities, I can prove my love for God by acting toward them as God desires. In all this, Jesus is my model. Pray. Lord, I admit that you are all good. You deserve all that I have and all that I possess. How truly I mean these words will be proved by my attitude toward the people and events in my daily life. Let me treat others with the love which you desire of me. Grant that I may reflect your wonderful patience in life's daily trials. I want to keep trying in spite of my weakness and faults. If I cannot prove my love by any great improvement, at least I can prove it by continual effort to improve. I shall never stop trying because this is the least I can do for love of you. Amen. Chapter 39, Human Respect. Christ said, "My child, human respect is the fear of being criticized or corrected by people. Live thy life in my presence and do not think too much of what people may think or say. As long as thy conscience is clear, the thoughts or words of men can neither add to nor subtract from your true worth. Thou art not a better man when people praise thee, nor are thee worse when they find fault with thee. Thou art what thou art, and I see thee as thou really are. Thy value in my eyes does not depend upon the judgments of people. I look upon thy heart. I see thy intentions and thy sincere efforts. Men judge thee mainly by thy external actions. They cannot be sure of thy merit or guilt in the deed. Too often they judge thee by their own likes and dislikes, or by their own vanity and fixed ideas. In this matter, try to imitate my apostle Paul. He tried to please everyone, becoming all things to all men. Yet he made no account of what people thought of him. He knew only too well that it is impossible to satisfy everyone. He labored hard to improve the lives of men, but he could not prevent the harsh criticisms and judgments of some. Like Paul, thou too must place thy life in my hands and leave all judgments to me. Defend thyself against unjust criticism by humility and patience. When silence would do more harm than good, pray for a prudent tongue, and then defend thyself with the truth. Think. It is consoling to realize that while people see only the action, God sees also the desire, the intention, and the sincerity of my effort. I need only be sure that I am doing my honest best without self-deception or pride. God will see that truth conquers in the end. Evil tongues and harsh judgments will not hurt me for long if I trust more in God than in myself. I shall not put off any good deed nor perform any wrong one for fear of human criticisms or even mockery. Pray. My heavenly judge, I leave my life at your feet. I desire to do my very best for your honor and glory. I want to seek your truth and to follow it in my everyday life. I will not bother to defend myself against misinterpretations and misunderstandings unless I am obliged to avoid scandal or unnecessary offense. As for the rest, I shall leave all judgment in your hands. Save me from my own conceit and self-seeking. Forgive the evil tongue that ventures to judge me and the foolish heart that dares to condemn. Let me never omit a good deed nor perform what is wrong, through fear of being mocked or hurt by men. You alone are all holy. You alone are my Lord. You alone are most high. Men are so often wrong in their judgments. I will never again let their opinions turn me away from your holy will. Amen." Chapter 40, peace of soul. Christ said, "My child, my saints lived in this world without complaint. They were aware of their own defects, and they offered up their daily trials in reparation for their faults. They developed the virtues of humility and simplicity in order to avoid self-deception. Their greatest fear was that they might deceive themselves into a sense of their own goodness, or even of superiority over others. By living with eyes fixed on me, they lived in peace. If thou want to enjoy my gift of peace, learn to control thy selfishness in many things. Do thy best, but do it for me. Give me the best loyalty within thee, because I deserve it. Do not always expect a reward for the good thou do. I have already given thee more than thou can ever repay me. If thou cannot help others against their faults and defects, the only thing left for thee is to mind thy own business. Let them go along the way they have chosen. Why lose thy peace of soul or even sin by anger? First, keep thyself in peace. Then thou can see more clearly how to bring peace to others. A peaceful man has far more influence than a merely learned one. Everyone is impressed by the man who has peace, because all feel the attractions of my grace within him. Do not desire anything more nor less than my will, and my peace will remain with thee. Then may thou hope to bring this peace to others. Think, all men desire peace, but so few do what it takes to obtain a true peace. Some think that they'll find it in financial security. Others seek it in continual activity. Others hope to find peace in human friendship or praise or admiration. These things are not the source of true peace. A daily life of straight thinking and unselfish following of God's will is the one and only source of true peace. Interior tranquility is God's gift to those who love His truth and obey His will in their daily life. Resentment against some circumstance or other robs many people of their peace of soul. I should learn to live with what I cannot control or eliminate in my daily life. God will help me rise above such things if only I will give Him a chance to share my life. Pray. Lord, help me to do what is necessary to obtain the wonderful peace which You have promised to us, the peace which our souls crave. Grant me the grace to seek Your holy will and to live in it all that happens to me this day. I desire to bring Your peace to those around me. I will try to help them when it is possible, and I will leave them to You when my efforts are useless. Your holy will be my first concern in everything that occurs today. Those who seek to live as You desire fulfill the highest wisdom and attain a heavenly peace even in this earthly life. May I be one of these faithful followers. Amen. Chapter 41, Lasting Interior Peace. Christ said, "My child, peace I leave to you, my peace I give to you. This is my promise to all my loyal followers." Everybody wants peace of soul, but so few are willing to do what is necessary to obtain it. My will is the only door to true and lasting peace. This peace is given to those who are gentle and considerate with their neighbor. I do not hesitate to grant it to those who are truly patient and to the humble. Thou could possess all of these virtues, and thou could enjoy my wonderful peace if only thou would follow my directions. Prefer to do the will of others rather than thy own will. Always seek the lowest place, and let others be preferred before thee. Forget self-interest, and follow my instructions. Give all for all, and do not make any exceptions in thy offering to me. Why do thou refuse to have complete confidence in me? I know what is truly best for thee. I can send thee nothing that is really bad for thee. Thou do not love thyself one fraction as much as I love thee. Let me govern thy life. Be convinced that I will take good care of thee. Only when thou have learned to do things my way, only when thou seek my will above all else, only then will thou possess the priceless treasure of my peace. Where I reign, there does my peace flourish. Think. Peace is the tranquility which comes from order. Order means that everything is as it should be. When my life is running as it should, I shall have peace. Who knows better than God how my life should be lived? Therefore, if I want peace, I must follow God's holy commands. Why do I lack this peace? It is because somewhere in my life I am not faithful to God's directions. His directions may seem too difficult or even impossible, but they are not really so. God will never burden me above my strength, nor will he ever command the impossible. If I lack the strength to follow his wishes, it is because I am not doing what it takes to gain that strength. Pray. Jesus, my King and Savior, when will I understand that you command only what is best for me? In my blind selfishness, I run away from you and from my true and lasting welfare. I want to be free and without frustrations, yet I allow myself to become tied down with earthly interests, which are neither necessary nor good for me. Teach me, impress me with this truth, that when I disagree with you, I am actually my own worst enemy. Convince me beyond all doubt, persuade me once and for all, that my greatest advantage will come from following your directions throughout my daily life. Then will I know the wonderful gift of interior peace, which you promise to all who follow you, the peace which everyone seeks, but few possess. Amen. Chapter 42, Obstacles to Peace of Soul. Christ said, My child, as I have already told thee, where there is order, there you will find my peace. My peace does not leave thee until some disorder has entered into thy soul. This disorder may be in thy thinking or in thy will. Thus, for instance, some people, either through ignorance or through neglect, fail to see life's daily events my way. They are troubled, anxious, ready to do anything for some need or advantage in their earthly life. My loyal followers work for their needs, but they do not forget me. They consult my church when they doubt what is to be done. Never take thy eyes away from my teachings, otherwise thou wilt easily be deceived. Consider my judgments more than the judgments of worldly people. Let no human praise, no human fault-finding, influence thy loyalty to me. Then again, disorder may arise in thy will. Thou may want some worldly advantage or earthly success, regardless of my will in the matter. If this is so, thou shalt be deprived of my peace. Thou may distract or deceive thyself for a time, but my grace will continue to disturb thy conscience. Be truly wise. Do not have any fixed desires. Place all thy hopes, plans, and efforts at my feet. Follow what seems wise and good, but do not make up thy mind to have what thou desire, no matter what the price. If thou follow thy unreasoning desires too strongly, thou wilt only find regrets and remorse later on. Think. There's only one way to true and lasting peace. That way is God's will. The man who lacks interior peace either wants what God does not want him to have, or refuses to take what God wants him to take. One who does his best to embrace God's holy will receive Christ's peace. What about me? Am I trying to embrace God's holy will in all that happens to me each day? To do this perfectly, I must see the full picture of life. I must see God directing, supporting, and permitting whatever occurs, be it good or evil. In allowing evil to happen, God has reasons far beyond my understanding. My highest wisdom lies in embracing the evils which I am not able to remedy, accepting them because God permitted them to happen to me. When I have succeeded in wanting only what God wants me to have, I shall know the wonderful peace of Christ. Pray. All-wise Creator, you know what is best for me. Everything which you permit in my life is good for me in some way. You do not ask me to understand all of these things, but only to accept them because you permit them. True, you expect me to do my best to correct the wrongs which happen to me, but when I cannot correct them, that is when I am to embrace them for your sake. In seeking your holy will above my own likes and dislikes, I shall find the grace of interior peace. With this peace, I shall think more clearly in my daily life. I shall also find it easier to control my unreasoning desires, since I shall more easily see how unreasonable and foolish they are. Lord, help me share your holy wisdom by following it in my daily life. Amen. Chapter 43, Good Judgment in God's Service. Christ said, "My child, never be completely idle. Try to have enough interest in activities to keep thee reasonably occupied at all times. Beware, however, of overactivity. No matter what thou do, be sure to consider the limits of thy strength. Different people have different talents, abilities, and strength. Thou cannot keep up with everyone in everything. Bodily exercises should be practiced with good judgment. They are not to be equally undertaken by all. Each person should match his exercises with his strength and daily occupation. The extreme love of bodily exercises is frequently another form of pride or vanity. Eventually, it will injure thy health. In every activity, be it physical or mental, thou must be thy own master. Do not let any interest gain too strong a hold on thee. Otherwise, it will gradually paralyze thy better judgment and make thee its slave. Thou wilt no longer be able to do what is best for thyself. Thy thoughts and desires will be controlled by this strong interest. Always strive to maintain thy interior freedom from all things. Only then wilt thou be able to think straight and choose what is right and truly good for thee. In thy external activity, do not try to appear better or even different from the ordinary good people around thee. In thy public actions, beware of putting on a show. One who is really better than others tries to be better in my presence and for my sake, and not for the admiration or praise of men. Thy first obligation at all times is to fulfill the ordinary duties of daily life. Do these as perfectly as thou can for my sake. After having fulfilled these obligations, thou may follow thy own personal inclinations away from the eyes of men. Fulfill thy public devotions without unnecessary show. If thou want to do extraordinary things for me, do them privately, where I alone will see thee and praise thee. Think. Again and again I am faced with the fact that my worst enemy is this silly self-love of mine. It is silly because it seeks such flimsy glory and such shallow satisfaction, while it should be striving for the eternal glory and perfect satisfaction of heaven. Even in seeking to become better and holier, I often have the wrong motives. I see it for my own glory instead of God's glory. He wants me to better myself so as to be more like Him in my daily life, but I keep wanting to appear better than those around me. As a result of this blindness, my spiritual life remains weak and unsteady. My improvement must begin from within, in my thinking, my intentions, and my purpose. When I have made God my main goal, I shall begin to show balance and good judgment in my external actions. Pray. All-wise and loving Father, thank you for a very precious lesson today. As long as I think straight, I shall exercise good judgment in my daily life. If you are truly my main goal, if I desire your will in all things, I shall avoid many a foolish extreme. I know that you see my efforts and that you are satisfied as long as I am doing my reasonable best. When I strain and go to extremes, I usually do it for some selfish reason. Therefore, help me live a balanced life, at least by avoiding all deliberate show. Let me not desire the admiration or attention of anyone except you. As long as I follow your holy direction, I shall never become a slave to my work, nor to any other created thing. The greatest sacrifice which you ask of me just now is loyalty to my daily obligations. Let me not go to any extremes, but let me do my best for your sake. Amen. Chapter 44, God's Wisdom in Daily Life. Christ said, "My child, let me teach thee some of my heavenly wisdom. This gift is more precious than all the gold and wealth on earth. My wisdom is far above that of men." The main reason why men judge so wrongly is that they think too much of this earthly life and not enough of the eternity which awaits them. They defend their earthly judgments with all kinds of worldly reasoning, and therefore they often fall into errors and sins. I do not want thee to be deceived by wrong human reasoning. As long as men disagree with my judgments, they are wrong. Thou may understand the human reasoning better than thou understand my judgments, but this merely proves how far my wisdom is above all created intelligence. I gave to man the limited intelligence with which he judges. Thou insult my infinite intelligence if thou prefer the reasoning of men to my word. I see what they see, and infinitely more than they see. Worldly men are foolish, not because they value the good things of this world, but because they value these things too much. They are too ready to offend me for some earthly gain or advantage. They fail to consider the full truth about themselves, and therefore they get false notions about their own greatness. They fail to see that all true greatness is a gift of mine. They seek praise and admiration for some passing earthly achievement or talent, when they should be seeking the all-satisfying praise and admiration which I will grant to those who gain heaven. Thy true greatness lies in reflecting my goodness and wisdom in thy daily life. Thou do this by following my wisdom in all things. What men praise in thee is worthy of praise only if it pleases me. Not everything that seems good is truly good. What men call right is not always right. Thou wilt never be confused by worldly wisdom as long as thou keep thy eyes on my work. Look to my church, and thou shalt possess my truth. Think, this modern age is so filled with conflicting beliefs and philosophies. It is truly confusing. Yet I can avoid all confusion if only I will let God guide me through his church. I shall possess God's peace if I refuse to let people confuse me with their ideas and theories. God made all the good things on earth, yet he warns me against loving them too much. These things are good for me only if they help me to please God and follow his will. Otherwise, I must look on them as harmful for me. Pray. Eternal fountain of all wisdom, my God, I realize how hard it is to think straight among worldly people. Their false reasoning sounds so logical at times. Yet, how can they be right if you disagree with them? I want to live a life of happiness, but not the false and passing happiness of earth. If I must make a choice between earth and heaven, then I want to choose the best things first. I will make good use of the things I possess on earth. Never shall I love them so much as to offend you. I will try to think more and more your way in my daily life. I will learn your religion better and better. Your word shall be my sure guide to heaven. I rely upon your holy grace to give me the heavenly strength which I shall need. Amen. Chapter 45, Holy Obedience. Christ said, "My child, all legitimate authority comes from me. My will is shown to thee in every reasonable command of legitimate authority. In obeying those who have authority over thee, thou obey me. Thou cannot decide what thou would like or dislike, since thy feelings are not always under thy control. Thou can, however, decide to follow what thou know is right and good. Obedience to authority is an act of the highest reasoning. If I am the source of all legitimate authority, then thou obey me every time thou obey thy lawful superiors. Meditate upon this truth. Strive to see me in those who command thee. In so doing, thou wilt find it much easier to take orders. This kind of obedience frees thy mind from all sense of inferiority. It also diminishes the human resentment which thou may naturally feel. Self-deception and pride are best overcome in a life of holy obedience. Seek to purify thy self-offering to my will by a more perfect obedience in thy daily life. In obedience, thou sacrifice more than thy possessions. Thou sacrifice thyself, thy feelings, thy time, and thy free will. The more thou strive to eliminate thy natural reasons, the more pure will thy self-sacrifice will be. Obedience includes the sacrifice of everything else. When thou feel inclined to disobey superiors, remember that I, thy Savior, lived a life of obedience to human superiors during my earthly life. How then can thou, who art dust and ashes, refuse to follow my example? Never give bad example by disobedience. Thy obedience makes it easier for others to obey. Never seek particular privileges except when absolutely necessary. If thou try to live without the restraints of obedience, thou art simply raising thyself on a pedestal, which is pride or self-indulgence. No man can live without some measure of obedience in his life. Indeed, no one can be a good superior unless he himself knows how to obey. Thou can command thyself safely and wisely only if thou have learned to obey humbly and promptly. Think, God loves order because order is born of intelligence. Where order is lacking, there can only be confusion and destruction. If I want to please God, I must put order into my life. Not only am I to obey the direct commands of God, but also His indirect commands, that is, the orders which come to me through my lawful superiors. Only if they command what is sinful must I refuse obedience. Obedience will always be a blow to my human pride, unless I make it an act of love for God. Jesus shows me how this is done. He became obedient to human superiors to make up for my sins of disobedience, and also to give me an example of perfect obedience. Can I refuse to become more like Him? I do refuse every time I disobey those who have authority over me. Pray. My Jesus, obedient Son of the Heavenly Father, You obeyed His holy will even to the point of dying for my sins. How can I ever forget this? Will I consider myself better than You by refusing to obey the commands of my lawful superiors? No matter how much I claim to love You, my claims are only words until I prove them by a life of unquestioning obedience to Your holy will. You speak to me through Your church and through all those who have a right to direct and command me. Let me see You in them. I want to obey You in them. Grant me the grace to hear Your voice when duty calls me to my daily occupations and activities. I want only one favor from You, the grace to offer myself to You daily by a life of obedience to my obligations. Amen. Chapter 46, The Virtue of Humility. Christ said, My child, humility is a much misunderstood virtue. Many people think it is an unreasoning sense of inferiority or a lack of self-appreciation. In reality, humility is far from this. It is an honest facing of facts, admitting them, and acting according to them. The humble man lives free of all pretense and self-deception. This honesty with facts helps him to think clearly and act fairly in his daily life. When you see others honored, praised, or admired, do not yield to envy or resentment. Let facts rule thy life. If they deserve honor and admiration, give it to them. If not, maintain a charitable silence. So too, when thou art criticized, blamed, or despised, do not be disturbed. Look at the truth. If thou art guilty of an accusation, ask pardon and mend thy ways. If thou art innocent and the matter is serious enough, patiently try to right the wrong done thee. If the matter is slight, thou wilt find peace and greater grace in silence. Do not lose thy self-control in a desire to justify thyself. I judge thee according to the facts, not according to what others think of thee. Follow the same rule in judging thyself. Think, there is so much pretense in human society, so much putting on, so much posing. We like to appear better than we are, but we do not always work hard enough to become better. If I were honest, I would admit my many faults and my few virtues. I would not be afraid to practice this honest self-appraisal when people point out my shortcomings and limitations. Never again would I act as though God owed me something. God loves a man who lives an honest life, a truthful life, not expecting a return of respect or thanks for everything he does. A truly humble man is so conscious of this boundless debt to God that he finds it hard to complain, even when injustice is done to him. Pray. Father of truth, I desire to prove myself a true son of yours. I want to be simple, unassuming, and unpretentious in my daily life. Let me not put on airs and act superior to others. I will never make others feel inferior in my presence. I want to think often of my complete dependence upon you for all things. When I am praised, I will thank those who praise me and then thank you for the success which you placed in my hands. I shall never be slow to praise others for their good deeds. Let me live a truthful life, facing facts and admitting them in my actions. Unless I live this way, I shall not be a true follower of Jesus, your divine Son. I hope to begin at last to be loyal to Jesus by practicing humility in my daily life. Amen. Chapter 47. Humility in Action. Christ said, "My child, nothing is more pleasing to me than to see thee truly humble in thy daily life." The humble man remains at peace when others find fault with him. His attention is so firmly fixed on me that he is as conscious of my presence as he is of the people around him. He cannot forget his complete dependence on me. He is so impressed by his own nothingness that he fights against all forms of pride within him. As a result of this hatred of all pride, he refuses to defend his rights in unimportant matters. People resent the man who seeks to raise himself above them, but no one resents the man who is little in his own eyes. The humble man does not look for admiration. He is as willing to be last as others are anxious to be first. He does not care what others think of him, but in all things he is eager to please me. He is not interested in honors, reputation, or human applause. He knows that I judge without error or misunderstanding, and he seeks only my approval. The truly humble man is not afraid to have others know or correct his faults. He uses these humiliations to prove to himself that he wants no earthly glory, but only self-improvement for my sake. Never compare thyself with those who seem worse than thou, but reflect often upon my infinite generosity with thee. Remember thy enormous debt of gratitude to me. Humility will convince thee that without me thou art nothing. This virtue will urge thee on toward greater self-sacrifice for my sake. Think, the man who is little in his own eyes is truly great in God's eyes because he is a man of truth. He counts as nothing all the satisfactions, accomplishments, and glories of earthly life because he sees God as his first and greatest good. The lower he reaches in self-esteem, so much the higher does he rise toward the God of truth. Anyone who attributes any good to himself alone hinders God's grace from raising him to true perfection. All perfection begins with an honest facing of facts, that is, humility. Pray. My Heavenly Father, God of truth, you reveal your secrets to the humble man. You invite him to a closer and higher friendship with you. Let me abandon all pretense and hypocrisy, and let me be honest with you, with people, and with myself. I must not hide the truth from myself. I want to admit it in my actions, even when it is unpleasant. Only then shall I receive your peace and joy. Thoughts of death and judgment will not arouse fear within me, because my love of truth will be my guarantee of salvation. Let me face what I am, and begin today to improve myself according to your holy plan. I shall humble myself as often as I can, so that I may never forget my complete dependence on you. I shall look on humiliations as an opportunity to overcome my foolish pride. When praise and honor come to me, I shall pass it on to you, the fountain of all success. My greatest glory lies in living a truthful life, free of self-deception and foolish pride. Amen. Chapter 48. Self-Abasement. Christ said, "My child, when thou hast succeeded in developing the virtue of humility to a high degree, I shall lead thee on to a still higher virtue, the virtue of self-abasement. This is the virtue which inspires my followers to avoid all forms of admiration, praise, and honor. In their deep appreciation of me, they seek the last place among people, preferring to be overlooked and even mistreated. Through humility, my loyal follower comes to know me better and better. As he grows in appreciation of my infinite goodness, he seeks to express his love for me more and more. He realizes that I am constantly giving him more gifts, both natural and supernatural. This realization arouses in him a desire to give me more and more of himself. This yearning leads him to various forms of self-sacrifice. He seeks to deprive himself of human admiration and praise, since he desires to avoid all earthly rewards for the good which he does. He wants to do more and more for me alone. Even in giving good example, he strives to do it under the appearance of the ordinary. In his desire to give himself entirely to me, my self-abasing follower prefers to obey rather than command, to serve rather than be served, to follow rather than lead, to praise rather than be praised. In his own small way, he tries to match my generosity with his gratitude. He strives to offer his daily self-sacrifice in return for my boundless love. All this he does by lowering himself as much as possible in his daily life. Of course, this self-lowering does not prevent him from doing his best in his daily tasks. I practice this self-abasement all through my daily life. I chose a cold and lonely stable as my birthplace, a small unknown town as my home, and ordinary trade as my work. I stood among the penitent sinners who stood in line to receive the baptism of John. My life and occupation were despised by many. No matter how much thou lower thyself, thou wilt never equal the self-abasement of my passion and death, nor even the self-abasement of the Holy Eucharist, where I dwell under the appearance of bread and wine. Imitate me in this wonderful virtue of self-abasement. My saints could not practice it enough to satisfy their love for me. Though they were misunderstood and despised by others, they were happy in the thought that their life was all for me. They were eager to crowd as much pure love as possible into their earthly life. They did it through self-abasement, the one virtue which excludes all pride and self-deception. Think. If I meditated more often on God's infinite generosity with me, His infinite mercy towards me, and the boundless self-sacrifice of Jesus for my sake, I would make some attempt to practice some kind of self-abasement. Not only would I avoid praise, admiration, and honor, but I would actually desire to be despised and mistreated. This desire would arise from the realization of how very much I owe to God, and how little I have given to Him thus far. I would forget the fear of ridicule and contempt which I now have, because I would be too impressed by the greatness and goodness of God. Pray. My Jesus, self-abasing Savior, grant me this wonderful virtue by which You proved Your love for me beyond all question. All the saints practice self-abasement because they appreciated Your goodness and Your love. I want to share their holy appreciation and their generous love for You. In their determination to serve You without pride or self-deception, they practice this high virtue of self-abasement. Fill my mind with the sight of Your goodness, and my will with a yearning to satisfy Your all-deserving love. I hope to empty myself of self-love through self-abasement for love of You. Amen. Chapter 49, The Virtue of Poverty. Christ said, My child, if thou sincerely desire to advance in perfection, free thy heart of all earthly attachments. Do it first by breaking away from whatever draws thy will towards sin. Then rise to higher virtue and practice, holy poverty. The virtue of poverty is the desire to abandon more and more the things in thy daily life, so that thou may have fewer bonds holding thee back from me. This virtue seeks to abandon all that is not absolutely necessary for thy daily life. True, thou cannot abandon all things in thy earthly life. Thou must eat, work, rest, and provide for the future. However, when the virtue of poverty fills thy soul, thou wilt do all of these things more perfectly. Thy intention will be to do these things as I did them in my daily life, that thou may be a success not only here on earth, but above all hereafter in heaven. This holy virtue will help thee use all things for my sake. Thou wilt seek to use these things to please me. Thou wilt see them as helps to bring thou closer to me in thy daily life. It will help thee think with less prejudice, because thou wilt have fewer earthly desires. The virtue of poverty will make thee wise in the right use of what thou need. It will free thy will from its earthly preferences and will lead it on toward me in thy daily activities. Gradually thou wilt become the master of thy soul, free from undue distractions and unreasoning attachments. Think. Being poor in spirit does not mean having nothing. It simply means being free from earthly attachments. Such a poor man wants nothing which leads to sin. Moreover, he wants God's friendship so much that he eliminates as much competition as possible within himself. In his eagerness to come closer to God, he turns his back on as many things as he can. By doing this, he is able to think more easily of God, speak with Him more often, and please Him more perfectly. Pray. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. These are Your words, my Jesus. You spoke them long ago, but they are still true. How few have bothered to understand them, much less practice them. We claim to be wise, yet how often we fail to place You first in our daily life. We admit in word that You are our greatest treasure, and yet we seldom think of limiting our earthly interest in order to give You more attention and better service. I'm tired of living this illogical life of mine. I want to begin this day trying to have fewer things in my daily life, so that I may have less to draw my attention away from you. Fill my thoughts with you. Direct my attentions to yourself, so that I may begin at last to live for your praise, honor, and glory. Amen. At the conclusion of the music, please go to the next tape.